From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Matson, delivering the essentials for everyday life in the last frontier. Learn more at matson.com/Alaska.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Upper Cook Inlet's commercial drift net fishing fleet has a new rule book for the salmon fishing season that starts in July. That's after the Alaska Board of Fisheries, which oversees state-managed waters, significantly altered the fleet's season parameters during its meeting in Anchorage last month. As KDLL's Ashlyn O'Hara reports, some Kenai Peninsula fishermen are unhappy with the changes.
Upper Cook Inlet's commercial drift net fishing fleet has a new rule book for the salmon fishing season that starts in July. That's after the Alaska Board of Fisheries, which oversees state-managed waters, significantly altered the fleet's season parameters during its meeting in Anchorage last week. Some Kenai Peninsula fishermen are unhappy with the changes. The changes were spurred by a proposal from Andy Couch, a fishing guide in the Matanuska-Susitna Borough, although the version approved by the board was ultimately a dramatic rewrite of the submitted language. Couch told commissioners the Upper Cook Inlet's drift fleet is preventing coho salmon from getting to his local rivers.
Northern Cook Inlet coho salmon escapements have declined with increased use of the Central District drift gill net fleet to harvest large returns of Kenai and Kasilof River sockeye during the past 3 years.
The new rules significantly reduce the fleet's fishing grounds. The existing management plan outlines different rules for different times during the season, depending on the strength of the sockeye salmon run at that time. But the new plan is simpler. It describes one set of rules for the fleet, mostly regardless of the time of season. The new plan also lets the Department of Fish and Game Commissioner give the fleet more fishing time if sockeye runs are strong. It totally bans fishing days longer than 16 hours and limits fishing in early August to the west side of Cook Inlet. The changes come less than 2 years after the federal government began managing commercial salmon fishing in part of Cook Inlet. Couch claims that shift has resulted in weaker coho salmon runs in his region. Roland Ma is on the board of the United Cook Inlet Drift Association, which has battled the federal government in court over its management of the area. He also opposes the state's new restrictions on the fleet, which he told the board will limit harvest opportunities for fishermen. Among other things, Ma says the new federal rules forbid vessels from fishing in state and federal waters on the same day. That makes it tough for fishermen to change their plans depending on what's allowed on a given day.
All of those folks that decide to meet the federal regs and fish in the federal water on a particular day, we cannot put our net in the water. We will get a federal ticket. Even though we're fishing legally under state regs in state waters. And that's a problem, and it needs to be worked out.
Board of Fisheries member Tom Carpenter says that's ultimately a choice fishermen make for themselves.
It's really not the prerogative of this board to deal with what happens in the EEZ. That's a very different set of circumstances in another regulatory body. But it also kind of confirms what you said, that fishermen do have the choice to fish where they want.
Board members voted 4-2 in favor of the new plan as amended. Members did not take public comment on the rewritten language. Kenai Peninsula commercial fishermen say it's the latest instance of state managers voting against their interests. Meanwhile, on social media Tuesday, the United Cook Inlet Drift Association said it will be challenging the state's new management plan in court, quote, very soon. Reporting in Soldotna, I'm Ashlyn O'Hara.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
Sport anglers in southeast Alaska can fish more Chinook or king salmon this year than last year with a daily bag limit of 2 fish for residents. They must be at least 28 inches in length. As reported by KFSK's Olivia Rose, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game manages the fishery. On March 31st, they released updated sport fishing regulations for the region. Jeff Rice is a state biologist for the Petersburg-Wrangell area. He says the updated regulations for wild king salmon this year are, quote, more beneficial, close quote, than last year's.
There's more opportunity, and that's due to the fact that we believe there's more fish around, and we're hoping that that will be something that continues moving forward. So there is no negative news. There's all... It's everything's either better or the same as it was last year. And so as far as what one's allowed to catch.
Resident sport anglers can harvest up to 2 wild king salmon a day. Last year, the daily bag limit was 1. Meanwhile, non-residents can harvest 1 per year, except for a brief window from now through June 30, when they can harvest up to 3 in most southeast waters, but no more than that for the year. Last year, the non-resident annual limit was a single fish. Rice says the state prioritizes fishing opportunity for resident anglers.
For non-residents, we're trying to give them as much as we can while always allowing a resident to go out and catch a king salmon.
However, harvesting wild king salmon in some areas is currently prohibited until summer for all sport anglers. They'll need to wait until June 14th to harvest wild kings in most of the Petersburg management area and in waters by the Stikine River around Wrangell and Petersburg. Taking kings is prohibited until July 14th. Those area-specific regulations can be found on Fish and Game's website. The update went into effect on the 1st of April. Fish and Game also announced the amount of Chinook salmon allocated under the Pacific Salmon Treaty for this year, which plays into the updated regs. The treaty is an agreement between the U.S. and Canada that ensures both countries get some fish. The anglers get a slice of that pie. Southeast's sport fishing allocation, or how much fish the group is allowed to take, is 43,600 wild king salmon. That's more than last year when the treaty allocation dropped by almost 40% from the year prior. Rice says having more fish to work with shows promise.
The overall allocation is higher this year than last year. That's true. Hopefully that will benefit us.
There are special regulations for hatchery areas, but hatchery fish are not part of the treaty allocation of wild king salmon, so fish caught in those waters don't count toward the bag limit for anglers. Rice expects the department will announce specific hatchery regulations for fishing king salmon in the coming weeks.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
The fourth graders at Kodiak's Main Elementary School got their hands dirty during a salmon dissection earlier this week. Biologists at the Kodiak Regional Aquaculture Association, who ran the dissection, say it's an important way for kids to connect with their local hatcheries. KMXC's Catherine Irving participated in the dissection and has this report.
No, what well, part is this?
Liver.
No, that's liver.
The cafeteria at Maine Elementary School smells unusually fishy on Monday afternoon. Plastic sheets cover the tables instead of lunch boxes, and instead of tasty snacks, Maine Elementary's fourth graders hold salmon organs.
She grabbed on me!
Let's not put fish on other people.
The offending organ is part of a class dissection under a program called Salmon in the Classroom. This program isn't unique to Kodiak or even to Alaska. State agencies like the Department of Fish and Game make Salmon in the Classroom curriculum available to schools across the country. In Kodiak, where the program is run by KRAA, the program has been going on for over a decade.
I'm happy they're still doing it because when I went here, we also did a salmon dissection in the classroom in fourth grade.
That's Jeressa Reyes, a graduate of the Kodiak school system and an aide for some of the kids in this fourth grade class. She says watching these kids do the same dissection she did is a very full circle moment. Some kids are excited to share everything they know about salmon. Others are a little less jazzed.
Oh, I just don't like them because whenever I see something get dissected, I puke.
The insides, they gross me out.
Another big part of the months-long Salmon in the Classroom program is that the students get to raise baby salmon. KRAA sends over salmon eggs, which the teachers are in charge of incubating and then caring for. The kids get to watch the eggs grow up into fry over several months, then they will release them back into the wild. Amy Arneson is a fourth grade teacher at Maine who is helping run the salmon program. Standing next to the salmon tank, she says the program has been a great hands-on experience for the kids.
For them, seeing the process and everything makes it so much more real. Like, I'm just reading about it isn't quite the same as when they get to see it and notice, like, oh yeah, look at them using their swim bladders. Look, they do look like little toddlers trying to learn how to walk.
But that's not the only way the kids can connect to the salmon they raise. Kyle Wolliver, the research manager at KRAA, explains to the students how hatcheries can identify their fish when they're harvested.
These are called otoliths. They're the ear bones, and we put marks on them, just like this, with changing the water temperature, and that's the barcode to say where the fish came from.
Just like hatchery fish, the salmon the kids are raising at school have specific markings on their ear bones. So if a Maine fourth grader catches one of their salmon in the wild years down the line, they'll be able to tell it was theirs, according to KRAA biologist Tina Weaver.
And they'll even have the chance maybe to go back to the beach, Mill Bay, and catch them when they return back. So it's pretty cool that they get the chance to see the entire life cycle.
In Kodiak, hatcheries accounted for nearly 30% of the total salmon catch in 2025. The class will release their 250 salmon fry, if they all survive, that is, one by one into Island Lake in just over a month. They will eventually become food for other animals, part of a fisherman's catch of the day, or nutrients for forests and streams. Reporting from Maine Elementary School in Kodiak, I'm Catherine Irving.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.